Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I ask this question on today's program. The Lord would have us to be faithful, and He would have us to be a witness of Him and for Him, witness of His works, a testimony to this world of who Christ Jesus the Lord is. And He has bid us to go into all the world preaching the gospel to every creature. No, I'm not talking about you go to your dog and to your cat and to the cows on the farm and no, to people. It's because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. And the Lord wants us to go minister to those who are lost and in sin. And we can give the gospel and see people brought from the darkness unto light into a saving knowledge of Christ Jesus the Lord. The Lord will use you and me to speak those words. Now, just think of this. The Lord has given to us this blessed privilege that we, creatures who have sinned against the Lord, that He would let us have a part in someone's habitation in eternity. Now, if you could go talk to someone and get the owner of a large piece of property to turn over that property and give it to a person who does not deserve that property or house or whatever it is, and you would go and speak to that person, and they would now become the owners of a large ranch, a very lovely home, great assets, a large bank account. Now, would you do that, or would you say, I don't want them to have that much? Now, listen, the Lord has given to us something that is far greater. He has given to us as Christians this charge to go to a lost world with a gospel. And we can speak the gospel and see people brought from the bondage of sin to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and where He says that they will have an eternal dwelling place with God the Lord. And here we are, sinners saved by His grace, going into this world, broadcasting this message, and here on the radio, I'm now going to extend this invitation to the man or woman who is burdened down with a load of guilt. You know that something isn't right in your life. You've searched high and low. You've searched near and far. And you've found no peace. You've tried the sublime. You've tried the crude, and you've not found any peace and hope. Let me tell you how you can find that. Well, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, and that God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's God's message. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And whosoever will, you see, will call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Now, if you recognize and you agree with this truth, now it's true whether you agree with it or not, that you are a sinner and that you are a debtor to God and you've angered God, and you will have no peace until you have Christ Jesus the Lord in your heart. Now, if you will let the Lord come into your life, then you'll be a changed man or woman. You'll know what it means to have peace, and the Lord will save you. That's a broadcast that I'm giving to you now, an invitation. Father, we pray that someone would enter into this personal relationship to know the inheritance of Christ for Jesus' sake. Amen. We have been looking in the book of Genesis now at the life of Dinah, who is the daughter of Jacob, and she has gone and spent some time with the daughters of the land. And having spent that time with these daughters of the land, she now is going to find herself overtaken by them, and perhaps it was their custom that Shechem would do what he did to Jacob's daughter, that he would take her and that he would defile her and treat her in such a way. Perhaps that was the way it was in their land. And he didn't see anything wrong with it. He was madly in love with her. That's what he was saying. And so he went on to say to his father, "Get this damsel. Get me this damsel to wife. Make her my wife." He told her of this strong, he told his father of this strong affection that he had for this new woman that had come into the land. Now remember, this is royalty desiring another one for his harem of women that he had. And so he was no one who was ignorant of the ways of the world, because he took her and defiled her. And that's Genesis chapter 34, in which he did this. "Get me this damsel to wife." Now, notice here, even the pagans talk about wives. And you have people today who are saying, "Oh, what's this about? You don't have to be married. Just shack together. Find us a house and go and get us an apartment, or get us some kind of contract and have a prenuptial agreement and we'll just live together." Well, here are people who recognize there ought to be an oath in there somewhere, a commitment of marriage, husband and wife. These people knew that. And do you say that you are smarter than they were? Or do you say they were so primitive that they didn't know any better? You have a lot to argue. And you can also look at the statistics of the health of people who seek to build a home. By the way, you have people in their youth saying, and men will get away with it, and the young women are thinking, you know, we'll just live together, and man, he just shacks with one, takes up with one for a while, and she gets old, find him another. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Find him another beautiful one. You know what? These fellows that think that they're young and handsome, you know, and the way they see themselves is not the way they really are. Or not that I say they, I'm of course being a man, we see ourselves differently than what we really are. You know, who in the world would walk down the street grossly out of shape and having all of those characteristics that society have said, we have products on the market that can change these things, and there are men who will walk down the street and brag how handsome they are, when there are all of these products on the market are saying, buy this product and we'll get rid of that. Only a man could say how handsome he was and how wise he is and how great looking he is when he fails to measure up to all those things. Women don't generally do that. And so you people who think that, well, we'll just have these trial marriages, that's not of God. You're going to hurt for that. You're going to be one who suffers greatly for listening to that foolishness. Don't want to make a commitment. Don't want to be a wife. We'll just, you know, we'll just have our agreement. And no, that's not God. That's not of God's word. That's not of God's way. That's sin. That's what it is. It is sin, and you're shaking your fist in the hands of God, and you still got to get things right with him. Say, but you don't believe in him? That's not going to change any matter. The Lord says, it is appointed unto men but once to die, after this the judgment. And if you're living in sin, you still have got to face God, whether you read the writings of whomever it is that tells you it's all right. They're not going to stand with you and tell the Lord, yeah, I told him, Lord, and it's all right. My word was good. That won't work, friends. You need to stop and see how God says things are to be. And so when this man says, get me this woman to be my wife, he goes to the parents after he has defiled her. He wants to get the parents' consent. Secondly, first he had defiled her, and now he says, even among the heathens, it is a sacred thing for marriage, and to get the consent of the parents. Because when you marry, you're not marrying just an individual, you're marrying that person's family. And if the family is pulling on the ties of the marriage, it's going to be difficult to hold it together. So it should be that you recognize when you marry, you're bringing another family together. You're bringing two families together. And all of the relatives, they'll become your relatives. And there is no use picking out the ones you like and rejecting the ones you don't like. You know, you heard the saying, blood is thicker than water. The brothers and the sisters and the mother and the father, you marry them all. So, if Dinah, was she still now in this man's house? Where had he done this despicable deed to her? In verse 5, the scriptures say, and Jacob heard that he had defiled his daughter. Hamor had defiled Jacob's daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And so when Jacob hears this, he is quiet about it, waits until his sons come back. I wonder if during that time he's thinking, you know, I tricked my brother. I cheated my brother. I did him wrong. I did my father-in-law wrong. And so it's so hard for him to make a step. So this Shechem, the report had been brought to him. Somebody had brought it to him. And, well, you know, his hands are tied at this point. The sons being out there taking care of the cattle. When he holds his peace, we don't have any evidence of what all is involved with him holding his peace. But he is quiet about it, waits until his sons come home. There are times when we hear things, and there is wisdom in holding your peace, thinking things through, making your decision on how you are going to respond before something is done. Jacob is holding his peace. But there's also the concern that when you hold your peace, things can be like a pot that's boiling, and there's no escape for the steam. So be considerate of that matter, too. If you're holding your peace and talking to the Lord about it and confessing your sin, that's one thing. But if you're holding your peace and building up steam on the inside, that's another thing. Dear Heavenly Father, help us, I pray, to have wisdom and boldness and courage from the Lord to do things according to thy way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.